Blog Talk Radio.
There is a word especially for you. When you think you're about to give up gas, just read your Bible, it'll tell you what to do. Be not weary, in doing well, for in due season you're gonna reap. Yeah, say be not weary in doing well, for in due season you're gonna reap. Now say oh yeah.
Well, hello, welcome once again to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Minister Joy Lewis, and you are listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be in Christ Jesus. As you log on to this show here, you'll see our promo there, and you'll hear the music. We pray that it encourage you to don't be weary in well-doing. We bring to you each and every week, each opportunity that God allows us, different ministries that's making a difference, not only here our local assembly, but worldwide, and we're honored to continue to follow that format today here. But before we go any further, we'd just like to thank you for being a part of our listening audience. We pray that you're being blessed by what you hear today and that you're being encouraged to be about your Father, being to be a part of something larger than yourself. We're going to pause here for a moment, and we're going to have a word of prayer, because this is God's business. We honor our Father, and we want to thank him for an opportunity to come on each and every week. Precious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, dear Lord. We thank you, for the Lord, for what you're doing in the lives of those that are less fortunate. We thank you, dear Lord, how you continually to bring ministries to the forefront, dear Lord, that's touching the hearts of men and women. Bring ministries, dear Lord, that is changing lives, dear Lord. Well, these are more than just words, dear Lord, for you are life itself. We thank you for this opportunity, dear Lord, this morning, as we share the gospel, dear Lord. Let it fall up on fertile ground. Let those that hear it be blessed and encouraged, dear Lord. Let them say, what must I do to be part of this heavenly kingdom? And we know it's nothing they can do, dear Lord, unto the grace and the mercy which you'll bestow on each and every one of us each and every day. We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And again, good morning. We'd like to thank you for being a part of this program. We want to say thank you to our founder and CEO of this program, Beverly Beasley, over at Granny's Play. Granny Plays is a ministry that's reaching out to touch the lives and hearts of our young men and women that's incarcerated. Granny Plays have an additional name, a change, an add-on to the name is Granny's Place Ministry. So thank you for being a part of supporting GP Ministry. But without any further delay, we have our guest on the line this morning. I have met this young lady. I have saw her ministry at work, and I was very blown away the love and compassion that they have. I would like to introduce you at this to you at this time, Pastor Dolores Dawson. She's the co-founder of the New Generation International Worship Institute, along with her husband, Don Dawson. They are the pastor of the Church of Prayer Christian Fellowship in Rockwall, Texas. Besides those things, she not only local minister here and here locally, but she does an international ministry that has reached 55 countries. At this time, we'll bring to you Minister Dawson. Good morning. Good morning, Minister Dawson. You're on the net. Good morning, Minister Dawson. You're on the net.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for being a guest on the program here. As I was reading your bio and I was seeing what your church was doing, I was being blown away. I said, oh, man, we need to share this with our listening audience, because someone needs to hear this and someone needs to be a part of what you and your assembly is doing for, in the name of our Lord, say Jesus Christ.
Well, it is a pleasure to be with you. It's a pleasure to share the love of God to those who are listening.
God bless. So introduce yourself and tell us about what God is doing with your ministry this season.
Well, we have an international ministry and we have a local ministry. We have what you call the Church of Prayer, and This Is Your Season's ministry. And This Is Your Season is called to the body of Christ. And what she does is she ministers to every different type of denomination, culture, or color. Because God wanted to show us what it was going to look like in the last days as we join together. So there's many of the staff members and others that come from different other churches, and we join together for our local community as well for a region and the nations. We travel a great deal in the nation sharing the love of God. That is the passion. The passion is his love. And then God has opened up doors beyond our local assembly, and we are ministering in 55-plus different nations around the world. That same love, that same passion for the widow, for the ones that are fatherless, and for the poor. But one of the things God has called us to do is minister to the body of Christ, pastors and leaders around the world.
Yes, and I saw that on your website. I'm looking at one of your sites now here saying, this is your season. Will you give us some insight on that? I love that name here because a lot of times people say, this is my season. But see, you had the boldness to put it on paper.
Well, I it's amazing that we're talking today. The Lord just shifted that title to This Is His Season. We had a conference, and he just shifted that name. But it was birthed about maybe 12 years ago. And I was sitting and waiting on my car, and I was writing a book. And the name of the book that I've written, one of the first books, is called This Is Your Season. And while I was there, the Lord pressed on my heart that he wanted me to minister to the prostitutes and women that have gone through very difficult times and to establish a home for them.
Yeah.
And he said, I want you to go media. I want you to go radio. I have a message inside of you. I want you to go media to share this word. And I didn't know where to go because I had just moved from Virginia here. And I happened to meet a young man. I didn't know where to start. And I asked him, I said, where can I go media, radio, television? There's a word and a message that God has placed in my heart. And there's people he wants to reach. And he told me to meet with him. And to make a long story short, as soon as our meeting was over, the Lord spoke to me. He said, this is your season. And it's a long story. I've been in the ministry for 30 years. And before that, we had an international ministry while we was living in Virginia. But God told me this was the season that he wanted to touch his people. And then one door led to another. Many women started coming to the ministry that prostitutes, those had gone through some difficult times in life. And then we opened up a home for women and began to minister to them here locally in Rockwall because we wanted to show value to God's people. And we didn't want to just go to a shelter, but a place where they would feel value. So we began to establish that, and that's when God had placed in our hearts, this is his season for his people. And so when I meet a woman or a man, because it's not just a woman's ministry, it's a ministry for those who have broken lives that God wants to restore and bring restoration to their hearts. And let them understand his love. He never intended for them to go through what they're going through. And so that he is a God of restoration. He's a God of love. He's a passionate God that wants to pull them close to him. So now I can minister to those and say, this is your season. This is a time of destiny for you. Because time and destiny cross each other. And when they do, it is God's timing in an individual life to bring them out of that hard time, to bring them out of that difficult situation, to bring healing to their marriage, to bring healing to their children, to bring healing to their soul. And so that's the reason why I feel so passionate, is because the season that he brings is for each one of us to understand. God knows that time and destiny, a Kairos moment, can touch every person's life because they were born for this. They were born to know this love. They were born to come into this place. So this is our season in him and him alone.
Amen, amen. That is so true. That's so true. And on the flip side, I do the jail and prison ministry, and I have a burning desire to help these young men not only transition from the jail and the prison lifestyle, but also be productive citizens in the community, in society. And I said, you have a passion for that. I'm looking at your website now, and it kind of tickled me too, because a spiritual tickleness. And I see where you're using James 1:20, saying that for this is a pure religion. In the sight of God, to visit the orphans and the widows, and to keep yourself untamed from the world. And I was looking at that, and then mine on the opposite end is James 5:20. I shared that with you to let them know that him that can change, that can convert a sinner from the error of his way, change, you know, save their soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. And I see that we are hitting those subject here. This is God's thing. This is God's business.
That's right. That's right. Because this is what God wants in this hour. He wants us to understand that we are in a dark hour. And in this hour, he's telling us in Isaiah 60 to arise and shine. Our light has come because of the deep darkness. And that's the reason why we must understand each season as he changes the season of our own lives.
And that is so true. Now, on this website here, as I'm looking at this, now you have a food pantry because we know that the gospel is powerful, but we need to reach the people where they are today. And that's something that I'm very committed about letting other people know what things are available, not only the word of God, but also getting them some help to restore families because we know that families are being thrown and torn apart, and it's a trick of the enemy. But God have people in place and ministries in place to support those needs. So tell us about your food pantry.
We call our food pantry Community of Believers because God exploded something here in the area during the time of Katrina. And Community of Believers are a community of churches and Christians that will come together to bring justice to a city. And so our food pantry probably reaches beyond Rockwall into Dallas, but probably from 500 to more people that we're dealing with on a monthly and a weekly basis. We give produce out on Wednesdays, and we give out these boxes out every month to families that are in need. And so it's an amazing thing that we reach the gospel to those who are in need through giving them the love of God and being able to support them physically as well as spiritually. So our food pantry is called Community of Believers, that the body of Christ coming together, that we all won't lack anything, we all have everything in common. And so, and that's our passion. Our passion is to get the gospel out so nothing will be lacking in what God is doing.
Hey, man, and I like that. You say a community of believers. That means that you're not doing this yourself. You know, you're partnering with other ministries and other organizations to bring about this here in the community and to touch God's people. I love that because sometimes we feel like that we're by ourselves and we're the only one that's doing a particular task in ministry. And so our desire is to bring forth ministries to share with other ministries and that they're not alone. Now, now tell us now on the flip side of this here, as we are give me some testimony that come out as a result of you are doing things like this for the community.
Oh, my God. There's so many testimonies that many lives are changed. Last night we fed over 200 people at our church, and I was sharing with Pastor Duncan how this one girl came up last night. And it was not about a turkey. It was not about the food. It was about a soul that came up to that altar, and she cried and she cried because she was looking for change. She was looking for hope. And so a lot of times we think these outreaches are just so we can give a turkey or give some clothes or some food out. No, it is spiritual lives that's been changed. I remember when we began to minister to those who are on the streets, ladies of the streets, and how this one girl came out, and I went and picked her up, and she said, "I don't want to go back. I want to do the best for my life." And so I brought her home, and I said, "You can stay here." And I watched this young lady passionately want change. We have also many of those who have came to our outreach that end up coming to the church that's saying, "You know, I was just coming for the food, but now it's not about the food. You guys give a full service, and this is our church. We don't get this kind of teaching." And so that's a beautiful thing when you start off looking for one thing and God changes your heart in the process of it all. And we have a Bible school. It's called the New Generation Worship Institute. And these kids come, well, they're not kids, these adults come to get a passionate word of God. And what's beautiful is as they come to the Bible Institute, their lives are changed by serving the community. Their lives are changed as they see transformation in the lives of others. So it's kind of twofold. They come to get the Word of God and to be stabilized in the Bible Institute for the presence of God, but they watch God move upon the lives of many who are broken, who are hurt, who have been disappointed with life, but a transformation. And many people who have been on drugs that think, I can't do it, I can't get off of it, find themselves in the presence of God, find themselves getting set free from those places and areas, dark areas of their lives that they didn't think they could. And so it's just amazing to watch how God will use a tool of giving to change a life forever.
You know, that is so true. That is so true. I have seen the transformation myself. I've been doing this a number of years, and I do mentoring down at one of the local centers and shelters, and I see men's lives are being restored. They brought back to their family, and then they're doing the same thing in which they met me doing, and it's a joy, and I know that God is no respecter of person, and we've seen people that's been homeless, and homes have been restored. So I know what you're talking about, and ain't nobody but God. It's nobody but God that can do that.
As
you were sharing earlier, the food is a byproduct. Even Jesus, after a great day of ministry, he said, now, what do y'all have to give? He didn't say, what do I have? He said, what do y'all have? He's looking for the body to support the body, you know, to give out. And you're hitting on something now. You're doing something now. That's, you know, that's shaking the very foundation of what the enemy is holding on to. You know, you're shaking them loose from the clutches of demonic power by what you're doing. Now, we want to shift gears here for a second because our time is running out. I'm on this other website here. Oh, man, and I saw some of your teaching this morning, Spiritual Awakening Teaching, Session 10. I got to go all the way back. You know, I'm going to start at the very first one, but I'm looking at the Lesson 10 here. Now, will you introduce this ministry to us and tell us about what you're doing on the Coming Message website?
The comingmessenger.org is for the body of Christ. Is because God said he has a message in this last days, and he's raising up voices, and he's raising up those who would hear him like John the Baptist for his return. And many people got a message inside of them, and they don't know it. So
yes.
What we do is encourage and ignite people. There's a book inside of you. There's a message. And it's not for you to sell. It's for you to give. And what is that message
powerful.
Inside of you, because so often God gives us a message and we think, well, I can't write, and or we get the wrong thinking that, you know, this message for me to write a book and then become famous. No, freely as the word was given to you, freely the word should go out. So that's the reason why I make the books available on the Common Messenger. They need to be able to go in and read and hear the word, and we want to take it to the next level, which I've been traveling so much I haven't been able to, but we encourage pastors and leaders and laymen, listen, let's get the message out. Let's stop selling the message, and let's start presenting the message of the gospel so that the people can get set free. So God is returning. He's coming back for his bride, but he's looking for people that would be like John, that would not compromise the word, but speak truth. And so as many as we can reach, as God begin to open up these doors, that is the passion. The Coming Messenger is the last day voice of God that is going to bring people back to God. He said that the fathers, he said that he's going to raise up the Elijah that's going to bring the fathers to the children and the children to the father. And we got to recognize our children are dying and fathers are being cut off. And there's a message that has to come out. And that's the passion for this. So helping those who need to write, and how do you get the message out? How can we support you? Because God has given it to you. It must come out.
Oh, that is so true. Now, as for our listening audience, if, when they go to this website, thecomingmessage.org, what can they expect to see, and how can they get this material which you're sharing with us?
There's a email address up there. It's a contact sheet up there, sign-up sheet. So just send us your contact. Tell us, listen, I have something in my heart, or there's something here that's going to bless us. And that's the message. That is the message. And begin to knit with the body of Christ with prayer. You need prayer. We are establishing a 24 prayer center here in Rockwall. And that 24 prayer center, that's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, that we can cry out for each other. If you just need prayer, that's the only thing. There's nothing. We don't want anybody to pay for anything. This is a message that God wants to get to their heart. So when you go up there and say, this is what I need, this is what God is speaking, or can you just pray for me? I'm in this place. Then that's the place to go up and look on the contact information and give us a call or email us, and there will be someone that would come get back with you, in touch with you.
Amen. You know, Pastor, as you were sharing that there, I was hearing it in your voice, the passion that you have for this. And it's this website, how you was telling people how if they wanted to post some things, they can go there after being screened or whatever it may be to kind of post it. Because you say each one of us have a testimony, a book, or something that we can share to empower other people. And I honestly believe that that's what my mission is about. Free on the inside. I think you're giving people the freedom to do those things. You say, hey, the gospel don't cost, it was freely given. And freely it should be given. So thank you for what you're doing. You know, you're encouraging me to go a little further in the gospel. Because, you know, I do jail ministry, I do street ministry, and occasionally the devil will raise his head up and tell you to shut up. But I'm like that man in the Bible days. I talk even the more.
The devil says, right.
Be quiet. Cause I go down to the jail, and I see these young men, they're filling their bodies up. They're lifting weights, and they got this, they got this body that looks hard and chiseled, but their soul is starving and malnourished. And I said, brother, you're putting on that wrong armor. You need to have that spiritual armor to fight off the wiles of the enemy. And you know what? I have gang members that come to the Bible study, and they be crying, and they be on their knees. And they say, brother, I've been doing this all wrong. And so, and that's why I go out there on my heart to get them in touch with ministries like yours. Because I can't do all this myself. That's why we bring ministries over here to so that other people know that, hey, people need some help in Rockwall. There's some help in Rockwall. There's some help, with women that's walking the street. There's help with addiction. That's what this is about. It's sharing people with help changing lives through the gospel. I don't have to do it all. When I first started, a person needed a place to stay. I said, I can't put them up in my house. I can't pay for a motel. But God said, hey, tell them about some things you went through. You know some program that you've been a part of. Send them there. And sure enough, the doors was open and lives was restored and changed.
That's right.
Now, as I'm looking at your bio, you have went to 55-plus odd countries.
Yes.
Pastor, why you do what you do? You don't hear this Saturday morning, you could be resting. You say, man, I do enough ministry. I didn't need some time to myself. But you continue to make yourself available for God's people. Now, some of the countries you went to, just give us a couple of countries that you went to, and then tell us why you keep doing what you do.
Passionately, God said he wants us to go from our Samaria, our Judea, to the outermost, from Jerusalem on outer. And that passion that he has given us is the love of God. And that love is spreaded in Africa to many pastors and leaders. We are overseeing and encouraging a church that ministered to 150 pastors all through Africa. So many, many countries that we've gone through in Africa. And Mexico, we minister to same. We have many churches that we are in covenant with there, and the passion of seeing lives change through the word and through the love. And a lot of times they just want to hear God's voice. And so going to Brazil and watching the whole city and being able to go speak into the lives of the police department, they asked me to come back and speak to not only the police department, but to speak to their military, because it's just an impact to know that the presence of God is there. And so going from Malaysia to the Philippines to, I can go on to Australia, but people are hungry. That it doesn't matter where you go. People want to ask me, okay, what's the difference, Pastor? I said, you know, I see souls. I don't see the culture. I don't see the color. I don't even get to see the beauty of the country. I see the beauty of God's souls. So I don't even think about the country as more than I think about the souls that are being set free. And that was the major thing that God placed on my heart, is to share the gospel. Everywhere you go, my presence is going to be there. And people always ask, how is it that you go to these places and these doors are open? And I tell them, I say, it's only God. He shows up. And when he shows up, their lives are changed and they're hungry. They're hungry. They're not hungry for the works of God. They're not hungry for just for us to be flamboyant in the preaching. They're hungry for God's presence. And so that's why my passion is when I see healing and deliverance and people weeping and crying for more. It just amazes me how God is so loving and how much he wants to reach his people.
Oh, that is so true. You know, our ministry also takes us to various places, and we spoke to people in Kenya, Africa, so we know that the gospel is affected there and how they crying out for the word of God. I asked Pastor Francis, what can we do here in the state? And he said, just pray for us, Brother Lewis. Pray that the gospel be effective in the lives of the men. Pray that the strongholds of the enemy be broken. And we talked to people in the Philippines that are doing ministry to runaway and abused kids that's living in cemeteries. And we said, what can we do? They said, pray that this demonic spirit be broken in the name of Jesus. Oh, that's powerful, El Paso. Thank you for what you're doing. You know, we would love you to come back on here at a later date to keep us up to what's going on in the ministry and to let us know that God is still dwelling richly in the lives of your ministry and encourage other people to be about our Father. Now, if someone would like to get in touch with your ministry, give us some contact numbers so they can experience the presence of God and also be a part of, because I know I have a feeling that you're a planner, that you plant ministries, you know. You ain't just about our talk, but you plant ministries. I love that. I love, because it was ministry like you and like yours that brought me about. You know, I have a testimony. I was messed up on the floor, but because ministries at different stages helped me along the way, and I looked up and I saw the backside of God. You hear me somewhere? Did he just? I just saw the backside of it, and I said, "Hey, that's what he did both." He said, "Let you see the whole world, man. Just see the backside of my glory." And I know when I was in the dope house, I saw under this bridge or whatever it may be, and I never thought God would allow me to speak to someone like you. I'm honored and pleased that you shared your ministry with me and the listening audience. And someone's going to be encouraged.
Well, I am honored to sit at your feet and the feet of the people there, because that's what serving is to sit at the feet of the people. Please give us a call for prayer or anything that God placed on your heart in this hour is 972-772-4411 is the ministry number. And this is your season at yahoo.com. Please email us with prayers, whatever that God is sharing with you, being able to be encouraged, knowing that this is what God wants to do. He wants to grant every person that is listening the riches of his glory so they can be strengthened and might by the Holy Spirit, that they may know the love of Christ and be rooted in it. But you can reach us at those numbers, and it will always be someone there to get back with you if you should call and just leave a message, leave a detailed message. Amen.
Amen, amen. And I know that you're true to that right there, because your staff, I want to say hello and thank you for your staff. Each time I call, each time I email, your staff got right back with me. Stephanie, tell her I thank you. And I like to borrow her sometime, because she's right on time.
They're wonderful people.
I mean, when I met you down at the street ministry, Brother Raul over in South Dallas, Stephanie right there beside you. She was taking notes and she followed up on everything.
That's right.
So I know that you're doing the will of God. As we get ready to get out of here, we will never leave without allowing you to give us a closing prayer to pray for, you know, just pray. Just pray the way God leads on your heart. And thank you. And we would like to refer some women and men to you from time to time that's in that area that need to be restored through the word of God, to be, you know, to be involved in ministry, because that's what we like to do. We like to be a resource and point people in that direction. They say, hey, him that can convert a sinner from errors of his ways, saves a soul. And that's what we're about in this ministry.
Amen. Amen. Well, let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for your love, and I thank you for your love kindness. Father, I pray, Lord God, for everyone that's listening to your voice, not mine, Father, that they will be built and encouraged. Let them know, Father, this is an hour and a time, Father, that you're saying this is your season. And let them see, Lord God, your love, that you want to root them and ground them in your love. And so, Father, I thank you for that right now. I thank you for that one that is listening, that is struggling in the ministry, Father. I ask you, Father, continue to teach them and show them, Father, that you are God and God alone. Father, don't let them walk in fear, doubt, and unbelief, but let them walk in faith, hope, and love, oh God. I pray right now for every listening voice, whether they are minister of the gospel or just happen to just turn on, that they will be encouraged, Lord God, by your glory, by your faith that you have, that they can overcome, and they can, Lord God, do all things through Christ who strengthened them. I pray that now in Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen.
Amen. God bless you, though, Pastor Dawson. We look forward to having you come back again. And God bless you. Continue to do what you do in the body of Christ.
Amen. Well, I am very honored to be here today. And all of you be blessed.
God bless you. Hey, what a great interview that we had there with Pastor Dawson. Hey, man, what a mighty woman of God. I had an opportunity to meet her and her husband, and they're truly a men and women of God. And she was stating that her ministry not only is here in the local assembly, but it goes worldwide. Her ministry not only sharing the word of God, but it's also restoring God's people. That's a powerful thing there. That's a powerful thing. Because I go down there, I see brothers that know the Bible. I see the brothers that know the gospel from Genesis to Revelation. But once they get out, they say, hey, man, I'm powerless. I don't know what's going on. But ministries like this ministry which you've been exposed to through this program, help you to get a good foundation to help you spread the word of the gospel. We have another guest that's coming on this morning here. This is Minister Michael Flemings. He's going to tell us about some career opportunity that's available for the believers and for those that just want to change careers through the word of God. Good morning, Minister Flemings.
Good morning, Minister Joel. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to our program. Well, man, we had a great interview a while ago. We prayed you were able to hear some of Pastor Dawson interview there. And, you know, she's a great woman of God. And her husband also. We met them over at the street ministry, and they're really committed to what they're doing. But on the flip side of that, you have some information that you'd like to share with us this morning.
Well, I do. And I did catch the interview with your guest this morning, and I was enlightened and thrilled to discover one more of God's ministry and his people addressing the needs and making a powerful and indelible mark for the cause of Christ. You know, again, it's shows like you and programs such as yours that expose not the bad things, but the good things that are being done by the people of God to make a difference in not just our communities here locally, to make a difference for Christ across the world, and that's just outstanding.
Yeah. Great. And, you know, I pray you had a pen that you could write some number down, but if not, you can always go back to our show, because all our shows are archived. And then give you an opportunity to kind of build up your little portfolio, I guess, and you can call them and just get some information from them and also be a part of what they're doing. And I'm saying being a part of just being able to draw from their skills and from some of the resources that they have, because as she said, it's free. You know, I went to a website, man, they got literature on there that's free. You just download it. Men and women are writing biblical books and things to help navigate through life concerning the word of God, and it's free. And she have homes available and food. And not only her, but your ministry also, what y'all doing over at Zion Chapel and the information that you share with us, bro. That's why it's so important to have ministry like this. Because sometimes people say, I don't know what to do. I had a young lady come to me and say, hey, I have a loved one that's addicted to drugs, and I don't know what to do. And based on my experience and based on the ministry that which I know about, I was able to refer her to a program and an agency that get her some help. And she called me up and said, brother, thank you for what you're doing. And, my God, I didn't do this by happenstance. I went through some of these things, but I also know other ministries that's doing similar things. And they said, Brother Lewis, anybody you want to refer, you can bring them on over here. So, you know, when I see a man out there that's hungry, that don't have a place to stay, I said, Brother, have you considered this? Have you went over there? And then I let them make that choice. But we ought to be armed and dangerous with the word of God.
Amen, amen. Well, you know, I did write down Mr. Duncan's number because, you know, one of the things that I and certain other individuals who represent what I consider to be key organizations in North Texas and in particular Dallas County is that we need to do a better job of not only identifying other community-based and faith-based organizations that are attempting to address the many needs, diverse needs that people face in our counties, but also coming together and coordinating our efforts. You know, I was at a study last night. I do a Bible study on Friday nights in North Dallas, and it's comprised of individuals from different churches. And so we were studying last night, and in the course of our study, we got focused on one word. The Holy Spirit focused on the word T-H-E, the. And we were reading from the book of Acts where it talks about Paul. And we know Acts is the blueprint for how to build and grow a church.
Yes.
And Paul sent, in chapter 20, he sent for the elders in Miletus to tell them that he wouldn't be coming back anymore and that he was charging them to be good shepherds over the church of Jesus Christ because grievous wolves and even from among you saw would rise to distort the word of God, to draw disciples off after themselves. Well, the important word there was the, T-H-E, because we know that there were church homes, and we can equate that to like church buildings and denominations, so to speak, because there was the church enclosed house and the church in Stephanus' house and so forth. But you know what? Even though there were different church houses and they were geographically dispersed, when Paul called them, they all came together, and they worked together. And he says, and remember that you've been, by the Holy Spirit, you've been made shepherds. Be shepherds over thee. Thee
Amen.
Is a definite article. They only talk about one.
That is so true. Yeah, man, that is powerful, Minister Fleming. I tell you what, man, I thank you for sharing that with. Now, as we was talking earlier, now you have some information that I think is very crucial to God's people. Concerning education, concerning things that's available through the body of Christ. Would you share that with us this morning?
Well, what we're concerned with is what I was just about to allude to, is the body, that there needs to be a better job of coordinating. There are all kinds of programs throughout the city, throughout the county, throughout North Texas, but they're not connected because they are one of many programs, and they're working in isolation. Your show highlights those programs, but what we fail to realize is that we can't be effective when we're just working individually. Oh, yes, we can accomplish things, but we can't accomplish what God wants until we come together and recognize that there's only one body of Christ. And when we begin to take our programs and our services and we sit down at the table and begin to look at how do we connect the hands to the arms and the arms to the chest and the chest to the legs and to the feet, then we can begin to have what we call a collaborative effort with a collective impact that will make a difference in this world. Now, we need to define the problem because, see, we talk about feeding people and we talk about clothing people and all those things. Well, you know what? Here in North Texas and Dallas County, the poverty level has been persistent. That means that the enemy is not letting up. Oh, he don't care about us doing our individual things. What he does want is for us to come together collectively. So poverty in Dallas County has increased over the last 20 years to the extent that we're the fourth largest city in the nation where almost 30% of our populace is living in poverty, either in underserved or impoverished areas. In spite of the fact that we got 16 billion millionaires in Dallas, we got thousands of half billionaires and quarter billionaires, and Lord knows we got tons of people who make six-figure incomes.
Hey,
39% of our people are
How come? how can we address that issue and kind of redirect everything?
Well, first of all, is we need to identify why this is the case. See, I love feeding the homeless and clothing the homeless. But what I and some other people are concerned with, why are they hungry and why are they homeless? What is the cause, and what do we need to do to address the fact that we're enabling people, but we're not enabling people to rise up and begin to do these things on their own? So,
amen.
We've done some assessment, and we've identified some problems. We have employers, we have the Dallas County Community College District, we have the local cities and the local school districts. And what we found is that there are some things that impede the availability of the necessary programs and resources, and then accessibility, the ability to be able to actually utilize those programs and services. Okay? One is transportation. Many people cannot avail themselves of the jobs that are currently open throughout the Metroplex because we don't have adequate transportation. And it's easy to say, well, we don't have DART down here. Well, you're right. That's the problem. But we don't spend much time talking about possible solutions. We don't necessarily know what can be done, but we know what possible options can be explored and looked at. For instance, the use of shuttle services. It has not been a secret that throughout the North Texas area, when DART first got its start, that there were areas that were not served: Richardson, Plano, Garland, Mesquite, and so forth. So what did those cities do? They didn't talk about the fact that DART didn't come there and they couldn't afford DART. What they looked at was, what are some of our options? And one option was they hired or purchased what they call shuttle services, where people could meet at some collected spot and have a bus or something that would transport them to a central location where they could access DART. Well, we know that south of I-30, and particularly in southern Dallas County, in cities like Balm Springs and Mesquite and Lancaster and Red Oak and Duckinville and Cedar Hill and so forth, that people don't have access to public transportation. Now, what does that do? That exacerbates medical and health problems because they can't access medical treatment. They can't get the necessary preventive services because they can't get there. Okay? And employers are saying, we have jobs, but the workforce can't get to the jobs because of a lack of transportation. So we need to begin to sit down and talk about this in terms of what can we do. What are the options we're looking at? And what we've set up is what we call the Community Shuttle Services Team. And the goal...
Mr. Fleming, before you go any further there, I want you to just pause there for a second there. And I want to just follow up on what you said. You're saying that one of the things that addressing the poverty and the economic conditions of the community at large is sometimes we don't have the adequate means of transportation to get to the places of jobs or to employments and to health agency, the hospital per se, and that there's agencies that are being put together in various forms that allow a community to have accessibility to proper transportation, and in order to get them to a training facility. Is that what you're telling us?
Right. Let me give you an example. Okay. Cedar Valley College is in Lancaster, Texas. It's right there on the edge of Dallas and Lancaster. Okay. Now, DART, public transportation, comes to the campus, but it's not available beyond that in Lancaster and in DeSoto and so forth. So what we're looking at with Cedar Valley College and several organizations that make up what we call the shuttle team is rather than exploring the cities and the college, rather than exploring the possibility of contracting with a private for-profit company, why don't we try to identify all of the faith-based and community-based nonprofit programs that have vehicles that they use for their programs? Let's find out how many organizations there are, how many vans are available, what's the utilization, what's the downtime, then let's talk about whether or not we can utilize our existing vehicles to form a coalition under some kind of central umbrella, and then have the college and the employers to contract with those organizations to provide a shuttle service from strategic points. For instance, maybe you have Miracle Temple that's off of Pleasant Run Road in Dallas Avenue. Maybe you have another church or nonprofit that's over near 35 and Beltline. And there are days and hours when their vans are not being used. Well, why not contract with those organizations to provide a specific route, certain days and certain times, to bring people to the college campus where now they can access DART, the public transportation, in order to get into jobs and get into health care and other kinds of resources. What would that look like? Well, we don't know. That's why we want to get as many organizations involved in the discussion so that we can use the talent and the wisdom that God has given us to better devise a system and a network to address real needs that impede individuals and families from availing themselves of the opportunities that exist in North Texas and specifically in Dallas County. So that's one. So with this show services team, right now we have Concord Missionary Baptist Church and the Learning Center. That's their daycare and learning center. We have MSC Church, Greenwich Place. We have Harmony CDC. That's a form of a part of Concord Baptist Church. We have Volunteers of America in Hutchinson, Texas, which is a residential and housing program that provides transitional living and other services to people who are transitioning from incarceration settings for the Federal Bureau of Prison and so forth. Now, we need to expand that because I'm thinking about your guest this morning and in Rockwall. Well, that's a part of the county that also lacks public transportation. But we need to bring people like that to the table so we can start talking about what are some of the systemic problems. That means the problems in the system where the breakdowns that cause people to have to be continually fed and continually on the receiving ends of a handout. Okay, we want to bring people into the household of God by doing the most important thing first, which is preaching the gospel to get them saved. Then we want to empower them to be able to live the life that God has called and given us through the shed blood of the Son of Jesus Christ. So that's one area. Another area.
Wait a minute before you go any further there, because they gave quite a bit of stuff to digest there, and I see what you mean, that there is definitely a need to. Now, after it said different communities and churches decide they want to get this show, or this shuttle bus or this route going, as they take them over to the various colleges or wherever they need to take them to the hospital, what is available for our listening audience and for those that are suffering from economic poverty to be restored at the local college? Because I know you told me about a training facility or some opportunities that they can get better education.
Right, Joe. What I'm trying to do is to highlight the four areas and when we talk about people accessing, first we have to build a system. What I'm trying to do is get the organizations to come together, because what we're saying is that can't no one organization. So, for instance, the child care collaboration team, the colleges within the seven college district for Dallas County are having problems. Many of their students are women, single mothers, head of households with multiple children. Now, one of the problems they're having is that some want to enroll and can't. Some are enrolled and are dropping out. Why? Not only because of transportation, but because of the lack of available and accessible child care services. So here we go again. What do we do to help people migrate from a position of lack and in poverty to the good life? Well, we have to build a system. So part of the system requires accessible, available child care. Now, local school districts have been expanding their operations to include pre-K. That's daycare and child care. That has forced many faith-based and private nonprofit daycares to close down because they can't compete with the independent school districts who already have brick-and-mortar, plants, teachers, and all kinds of resources. So it doesn't cost them very much to expand their operation to include this group. But that contributes to the poverty level. Why? because you're shutting down local, community-based, and faith-based daycare and learning centers because they can't compete with the school district. So they close. So now you got people and families now who have become unemployed, and you add to the persistently growing, increasing poverty level. So Dallas County Community College District has decided not to make that mistake and compete with community and faith-based organizations. What they want to do is to identify those organizations, okay, and the number of beds and the cost of those beds, and then design a system to do two things. One is to, when it's possible, to purchase a POS, a purchase of service system. If they got students trying to enroll, or students who enroll but who are subject to drop out because of the lack of child care needs, now they can purchase those services in conjunction with the Texas Workforce Commission and Health and Human Services, and you can also become a prime source for referrals to those programs. Now we're providing employment, sustaining and creating employment opportunities for child care and daycare within the communities. We're strengthening faith-based and community-based organizations rather than competing against them, and providing a bridge that allows individuals and families to transition from nowhere to somewhere. So we're looking for other organizations who want to be involved in discussing and defining how that needs to be done and set up. Transitional living. Okay, we know that people coming out of incarcerated settings, people who have been suffering from addiction, who have been in the streets and so forth, need adequate housing. We know that the shelters that are ran throughout the metroplex provide a viable service, but it isn't always enough, and especially in the way of programming. So we got programs like ARMS Ministries, which is ran by Golden Gate Church, which provides transitional services and housing. I heard your guest this morning talking about the availability of housing through their programs. We need to bring these faith-based and community-based organizations together so we can talk about how we build a community of transitional housing that is geographically dispersed throughout the Dallas County so that we have a uniform housing network that can work with Grace Place Properties over in Duncanville. They can work with Los Galas, the next ministerial next generation, which is over in Oak Cliff and Beckley. That we got all these things going, but we need to pull them together. So that's one area, the housing that we're working on. And some of the organizations that's involved in the transitional living is Grace Place Properties, Ministerial Next Generation, Golden Gate Missionary Baptist Church program, operated through Gatehouse and Arms Ministry, Volunteers of America, which provides housing services both in Dallas County and Tarrant County. And we're saying that there are others, that we want to have as many organizations involved in identifying those needs and proposing solutions. And then the last area is the area that you and others can be involved in, because we're talking about how do we identify organizations who are representative of our geographical needs in Dallas County to serve as critical points of entry for services. In other words, who is in the best position to know what the needs of the people are throughout the Dallas County? And how do we empower and fund those organizations to serve as intake, assessment, and referral teams to get people into position, into the system, to avail themselves of all the training and all the educational opportunities and the work readiness stuff and the housing and child care, so that now they have the opportunity, the time, the resources, and support to step up on a platform that enables them to move into a better position by obtaining the assets and the resources necessary to be successful. So we have this project team, and we're looking and trying to get the word out to more organizations so that when we have these planning meetings, as we're trying to define the system we want to build, that we have as many people giving us input, representative of their areas and their expertise, so that once we do it, it's a viable and a usable system that really reflects what needs to be done and that has the appropriate kinds of projects that's necessary. So I'm asking people.
Yes. Give us some contact numbers. Give us some information so next time that the planning meetings come about, we can make ourselves available and pass that along to other people that have a heart and a passion to make a difference in their community.
Okay. You can. Okay. I'm serving as the contact for the community. We call them the CPOs, Community Partner Organizations. Okay. And my number is 214-900-4179. That's the primary number. Secondary number is 972-218-9789. Okay, that's at Zion Chapel, Economic Development and the Church. That's 214-900-4179 and 972-218-9789. We've had a series of meetings over the last year with employers, with the community college districts, with some of the local superintendents of the independent school districts. And now what we're trying to do is to bring nonprofits and faith-based organizations to the table because we're ready now to actually begin to move. We have this huge grant that Cedar Valley has been the recipient of, and it's a $3 million five-year step grant. The ultimate goal is to serve 3,000 people who are at risk. And each year, there's some annual outcomes to be achieved. Okay, and so we need help. We need help in bringing together all these programs that we hear about on your show that are doing wonderful things. And we need to get them to help us understand how we can put together a system where what they're doing is connected, and we provide a holistic safety net, a continuum of care that can really begin to change the dynamics, to change the field, so that not only are we bringing people into the family of God by the preaching of the gospel, but we're empowering people because God says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, which means they don't know the resources are available, and they don't have the information so that they can begin to feed themselves rather than being fed. We need to make a real indelible mark and dent in this persistent poverty because the enemy wants to undermine the power and authority of God by saying, yeah, you can get saved, but you can't live the abundant life that Christ died to make available for you. And that devil is a lie, and that dog won't hunt. And we're going to prove it by bringing together all these wonderful people and organizations that God has ministries in and that's making a difference. And we're going to make a collective difference by coming together.
Hey, man, God bless you, brother. You gave us a lot of information to work with this morning. I was jotting some things down. And, Mikey, you really are on point here. And we would like to bring you back at a later date to give us a follow-up and to continue to share the things that are available for in the community. Because I think it's very important for us to be connected to the community. You know, you said some things that have really resonated with me. Not only do we want to feed the man physically, but we also want to build him up spiritually. And we don't want to just build him up spiritually, but we want to take care of him physically. It works both ways. You can't separate one from the other. And I think what you're doing is putting your pulse on the hand of society, that you on the forefront and you got and you know what's going on, and you're also making yourself available to be used by God. Mike, thank you very much. Minister Flemings, I call you Mike because you're my friend, but Minister Flemings, bro, we love you to come back on at a later date to kind of keep us up to what's going on. Give us again the contact number, the name of the program or the ministry which you're a part of at this season.
The contact number is 214-900-4179 and 972-218-9789. And this is the Dallas County Community Partners Organization, spearheaded by Cedar Valley Community College. And it's a collaborative effort to empower community organizations in behalf with local city or municipalities and the community college districts to form a platform, the legs of a platform, to actually begin to empower our programs and services in such a way that we can begin to make a real impact on the poverty level that's increasingly impacting negatively our people here in Dallas County.
Hey, man, God bless you. We want to thank you for being a guest on the program, and you gave us some contact numbers, and we're going to make our way over to what's going on at Cedar Valley College, and there's a lot of more opportunity that's available for God's people, and we pray that you continue to keep us up to date of what's going on. Again, thank you. I'm looking forward to speaking with you at a later date. Amen. 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 What a great interview that we had there with Minister Fleming, Sarah. Amen. We're sharing with us some things that are developing in the community. As we get ready to lock off this program, we want to thank you for being a guest. We had a phone line that lit up. Sorry, guests, we can't get to you, but I would like for you to continue to follow this Blog Talk Network. We have several shows that we have added to our program. I'm the program director, so God have blessed us to be able to bring on some other shows. Monday nights, we have My Sister, My Friend, which hosted by LaShondra Lewis and Beverly Beasley. That program comes on from 8 to 9. On Tuesday nights, we have a husband and wife ministry team that talks about that's doing marital counseling of the Mojo Talk Radio that comes on, and they talks about issues dealing with men and women and married issues, and that's a great program. I listen to it, and there's two husband-wife team that does a great job. We encourage you to come out. On Wednesday nights, we have Linda Jordan Ministries. It's a prayer ministry that comes on Wednesday night from 9:30 to 10. She comes on. She takes prayer requests, and she just pray for the body as a whole. And on Thursday nights, we have a young man, Gregory Bunting, that's coming on. He's a 14 years old, and he's going to talk about a young man's issue, you know, so that's a great ministry there. So he hadn't started yet, but this Wednesday he'll be on, and we're going to support him in that. And then on Friday nights we have Street Talk, which is dealing with young people, the issues, ages 35 is the top level. They call in, they voice their opinion on society and relationships, and very encouraging show. So I ask you to continue to follow Blog Talk Network. We going to do some great things in the body. You know, our show is not just talking about ministry, but we talk about life issues, because you can't separate one from the other. And then this show here, Free on the Inside. You know, they have to have that freedom comes from God. That freedom which allows you to do the things that God set for you to do. That freedom to allow you to keep talking when people tell you to shut up, to keep working when people tell you should stop, don't go, and you should go. You know, that's the freedom that comes from God. This morning, we're getting ready to go over to the Linda Jordan ministry. We're doing a day of Thanksgiving in the West Dallas area. So pray for us. We're a part of that ministry there. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. I was over there last year. We were able to do 500 people. And so we're going to make our way over there. And so we're going to drop some items off over there, and we're going to support what they're doing. So I believe in supporting ministries. I'm a servant, but I'm also an ambassador, and I'm also a minister. So we wear many hats, and we all ought to wear many hats in the body. Thank you for being a part of our program. We pray that you are being blessed. Remember, you can always go back and listen to any of these shows in our archive section. You can listen to any of them. We always give you contact numbers. We always give you resources. We give you news you can use in the body of Christ. We're getting ready to get out of here. You be blessed. Be strong in the Lord. Be a blessing to someone. And we pray that someone bless you. Gracious and Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for this day, this time, this hour. We thank you for our guest that came on, Pastor Dawson, dear Lord. We thank you for what she's doing over at Rockwall, dear Lord. We thank you for the ministry, dear Lord, how her ministry is restoring men and women, her ministry of calling people from darkness to a marvelous light. Dear Lord, bless her the way you see fit. Continue to bless her. Dear Lord, we pray for Minister Fleming, dear Lord, how he is concerned about the society as a whole, how he's working with program and ministries, dear Lord, that's getting suitable transportation to our brothers and sisters so they can be successful, dear Lord, with daycare and education, dear Lord. We pray that you continually to open doors up in that ministry. Dear Lord, we pray for our street ministry over Brother Raul over at the Breath of Life Mission, dear Lord. We pray that you continue to bless them and bless us, dear Lord. We continually, dear Lord, to show yourself mighty in that ministry, that men and women lives are being changed, dear Lord. They're coming in one way and they're going out the other. We lift up Pastor Whaley, Brother Sam, Brother Raul, and myself, dear Lord, and all those that are volunteers over at the street ministry, and all those, dear Lord, that have a desire to be closer to you. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Until we get together next week, God is good. Amen. Be not